Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is John Hanrahan, who's a former executive director of the Fund for Investigative Journalism and reporter for The Washington Post, The Washington Star, UPI, and other news organizations. A former legal investigator and currently a writer based in Washington, D.C., John Hanrahan is the author of a number of books, including Government by Contract. He recently wrote on press criticism, civil liberties, and dissent for the now-defunct NiemannWatchdog.org website. Welcome to Background Briefing, John Hanrahan.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And, John, we're talking here today about this Jeff Bezos, who bought the Washington Post for $250,000, which, given his wealth, was kind of chump change, compared to his deal, or Amazon's $600 million contract with the CIA, wouldn't you say? There's a bit of proportionality there?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's the $600 million certainly dwarfs that $250 million, which, as you said, is almost like a chump change. And if you remember, of course, there were questions raised even then about him, about when he purchased the Washington Post, just as to how aggressively the Post might look into a major company like Amazon, and with any problems that it might have. But with this CIA contract, it just raises even more serious issues about the, suddenly we have this richest corporation, I mean, this very wealthy man who owns the Washington Post, who has a huge stake in Amazon, which in turn now has a huge stake in the CIA and in the national security surveillance state. And so it raises all kinds of profound questions about how the Post will be able to cover this issue without at least some minimal disclosure to the public that, hey, our owner has a big stake in Amazon's contracts with the CIA, and you should know that when you read one of our stories.
So specifically, John Hanrahan, the $600 million contract that Amazon has with the CIA is to build up its cloud-based platform. Is that what it's about?
That's what I understand. And I'm hardly an expert on the contract itself. But it's clearly of major significance, and that the and Amazon is eager to get more such contracts, as they have stated publicly at the time that they obtained this contract. So it's this is not just some incidental tiny thing that it's not Amazon delivering some packages to the CIA. This is vital to their business, vital to the health of their financial health, vital to the health of financial health of Jeff Bezos, and therefore it becomes has an important bearing on the Washington Post and its coverage.
Well, it's pretty clear, isn't it, that Jeff Bezos is the majority owner of Amazon, and Amazon has a financial stake in maintaining good relations with the CIA. And how can you be, a hard-nosed, objective journalist looking into the CIA when your boss is looking over your shoulder?
That's exactly right. And you have, there's obviously major stories still to be reported about the CIA and its torture program, its drone program. And, this raises all kinds of questions, as I said, as to how the Post will handle those. The Post has some very fine reporters on it that have done some good work on the sort of the secret government, Dana Priest and Bill Arkin, for example. But the thing is, it has an effect institutionally. As you said, somebody doesn't necessarily have to tell you, don't report on this, but you sort of know when you work at a place like the Post that there are certain things that might be off limits because of the owner's involvement, the owner's financial interest.
And the fact that it was the Associated Press that broke the most recent story on the CIA, on this amateurish, off-the-books operation involving a hapless former DEA and FBI agent who basically has been sold out and is probably dead. And he was run by a group of analysts in an operation, which the director of operations in the CIA normally does. So I spoke the other day with the former CIA officer, Bob Baer, who basically said, you know, it's all, the problem is there's too much money being thrown at the CIA and not enough discipline. But the point I'm making here is that it was the AP and the New York Times that did this investigative piece. Is it unfair to suggest that the Washington Post didn't break this story, or, I mean, is that a coincidence?
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to know about something like that. I can only say that, you know, historically, from, you know, 40, 50 years ago, right up to the present, Washington Post has not been, has not had the CIA scoops that, say, the New York Times and now the AP in more recent years has had, or some of the other papers. If you remember back in the 70s, it was Seymour Hersh who really broke all the CIA malfeasance stories, with the Post sort of trailing. And the Post over the years, I mean, even pre-Bezos, there had been questions raised about its objectivity on this issue, since they had an editorial page editor who was a former CIA person. They had they've had reporters who worked for the CIA. They had a columnist who worked for the CIA. Catherine Graham gave a speech at the CIA in 1998 in which she talked about how tough their job was and that it wasn't the job of the papers to make their job tougher. And her 70th birthday party, Richard Helms, former CIA director, was at that problem with a lot of Post watchers over the years that they haven't been as tough on the CIA. I have no idea today whether, as I said, they have some very good reporters that would certainly, I think, push for stories, but as I said, institutionally, it might be a tough sell if a real test would be if suddenly a Post reporter had access to this long withheld Senate report on CIA torture. You know, would the Post hang back on that, or would they push ahead? I don't know, but that's the question that's raised in the minds of readers, certainly.
And John, back in September, the Washington Post staff met with the new owner of the Washington Post, Jeff Bezos, and apparently the Post blogger Andrea Peterson asked him that question about Amazon's links to the CIA.
Right.
What happened there?
Well, yeah, it was very interesting, and I congratulate her for raising the question. The gathering, as I understand it, was really, you know, here's this new owner coming in, and people are understandably concerned about what's the future of the paper. I mean, what's your commitment, Mr. Bezos, to keeping this paper running and alive and carrying on high-level good reporting? And so she said in her blog that she couldn't imagine another time getting such good access to him, so she asked him if he had any comment on Amazon's pursuit of CIA cloud contracts, and then she went on to describe that a little bit. She says, much to my surprise, rather than decline the comment, Bezos did respond after laughing a bit and asking me to repeat the question. Well, you'll see his answer was very non-responsive, as she does point out. He said he praised Amazon's cloud computing arm as the leader in the infrastructure cloud computing, and explained that it basically sells computing time by the hour to other companies. And he went on to praise the team and said that the story here is that we won a contract with the CIA, and IBM protested the contract. But if you had told anybody even 2 years ago that IBM would challenge Amazon for a CIA contract, people would be amazed. He said, what the team has done in a very short time is remarkable. So he was ecstatic over this link up with the CIA, and as she said, and that was it. So he did comment, but didn't really say much more than praising his team and repeating what was already public knowledge. And then she sort of jokingly added, after her raising this good question, she said, to the best of my knowledge, I remain employed by the Washington Post. And I mean, it was meant as a jest, and it's a good line, but it also does really focus in on that issue. If you're a reporter or an editor at the Washington Post, you probably think twice before you go after some investigative piece that hammers the CIA, knowing that your boss, as you said, is looking over your shoulder and has a strong financial interest in the success of dealing with the CIA and getting future contracts. So that really needs to be focused on and sorted out because, you know, whatever criticisms and I and certainly any other people have of the Washington Post, the fact is that it has still a lot of influence, even in the declining era of newspapers. And it has a service that, several hundred, I don't know the number, papers around the country post articles. So it's very important, not only just for those of us in Washington or who read the Washington Post, but for a lot of people out in the country who get their news on the CIA and other institutions from the Post. And so I think it's very important that the Post identify in news and in editorials its interest that its only owner has in the success of his other business interests contract with the CIA.
Well, John Hanrahan, as a former executive director of the Fund for Investigative Journalism, what is your impression of recent coverage of both this big, important story relating to the Edward Snowden leaks, mm-hmm. which, of course, have impacted the NSA, and at mm-hmm. 60 Minutes, which is considered the premier investigative journalist platform, at mm-hmm. least on television, not only did they do what to my mind was a Valentine to the NSA mm-hmm. Very recently, where they asked incredibly softball questions about the concerns that the American people have about the government spying on them, and these basic privacy concerns were barely addressed. We had a very close vote in Congress, and one for it was one of those rare occasions where the Congress actually was responding to the American people and their outrage. That certainly wasn't reflected in the 60 Minutes piece. It was mostly the NSA was able to basically say, we're good guys and trust us. And equally, I thought it wasn't so much a political fluff piece, but it was almost like corporate PR, the piece that Charlie Rose did with Jeff Bezos on Amazon. And it ends up with them showing this Amazon a little drone that delivers packages. But the piece itself, just to me, it was like, this is not news. This is not investigative journalism. This is corporate public relations.
Yeah, I didn't see the Charlie Rose piece, and he certainly has, in many occasions in the past, just as you used the phrase, Valentines to corporate executives of one type or another. The 60 Minutes piece was a disgrace. That sort of is continuing sort of the 60 Minutes downward trend of bad reporting, or reporting that puffs up some powerful interest. As you said, having just said bad things about the Washington Post, I was very happy to see that they did, in the wake of when the Guardian, Glenn Greenwald, publicized the Snowden disclosures, that Glenn Frankel of the Post was also one of the people that was chosen by Laura Poitras to look into this matter, and that he has been, in appearances I've heard of him, he's been very strong in defending the Post, even against attacks from some of their own columnists who think that Snowden should be taken out and shot or something. But it is a television journalism. I don't even know if I want to use that term anymore. 60 Minutes, which once really was the pinnacle of U.S. Investigative reporting, has just become I don't even know how to describe it. It's just a terrible operation. I mean, they had the Benghazi story, and you probably remember a couple of others, recent ones that I seem to recall, where they were completely blowing it. But we have, as I said, thank God for Glenn Greenwald, and thank God especially for Edward Snowden and Chelsea Manning, Julian Assange, people like that, who are sort of forcing mainstream journalism in many cases to take notice of these horrible disclosures that certainly will never be disclosed by the government.
And in terms of your experience as a reporter for The Washington Post, John Hanrahan, can you give us some insight into the changing nature, not just the broader issues of what is often jokingly referred to as the death of the dead tree business? We know that many newspapers, and of course the main newspaper in Los Angeles, where I'm calling you from, was taken over by a disgraceful corporate raider mm-hmm. who really ripped the heart out of it. And, you know, they're very courageously continuing in their kind of ravaged and downsized way to do good work. But they've taken a huge hit. And I'm just wondering, that aside, the broader economic issues involved with the newspapers, what about it? Have you noticed any change in editorial and investigative work? Because after all, the standard in many ways was set by the Washington Post with Woodward mm-hmm. and Bernstein.
Yeah, no, I mean, so with the Washington Post, recently, no, I can't say that I've noticed any changes editorially. They still have, and on their op-ed page, they still have some of the worst columnists in the country. The Post, for a long time, had this notion. It was always referred to as a liberal newspaper, and that wasn't even true back when there was more truth to that comment. They've always and I assume they'll probably still will continue to be editorially very anti-labor, anti-labor union. They'll be hawkish on most wars. They go completely nuts on the issue of the deficit, and that's the most important problem facing the country, and that the deficit is caused all by Social Security and Medicare, and that's what we've got to slash or else. As I said, I was on the reporting side over the last few years. There has been some really good work done by Dana Priest and Bill Arkin on the shadow government, the cost of it, the effect it has on our even before the Snowden disclosures. Sort of
right,
raised
but
the
but John, Bill Arkin was fired.
I'm sorry, I did not know this.
Oh yeah.
I'm really
that article that series that he and Dana did was a huge success. It's still the biggest online hits that the Post has ever had, and it was the most, I think, viewed and read and copied story that they've done for decades. And Bill's reward was to get fired.
I shamefacedly must say I don't even know how I missed that. That's terrible and disgusting. It was the other disheartening thing about it at the time, I thought, though, was that it seemed to not create a ripple in officialdom. I mean, everybody on the Hill and every place else seemed to just, it was like, oh, no, it's just another story. What Snowden's disclosures particularly have done is forced the issue to be talked about, and unfortunately the Post's clout didn't carry, but I'm we'll have to read up on Bill Arkin. I'm really as I said, shamefaced to admit that I didn't know about that.
Well, I'm pretty sure I met with him fairly recently, and but John, I thank you for joining us here today. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it being on. Thanks so much.
Again, I've been speaking with John Hanrahan, who's a former executive director of the Fund for Investigative Journalism and a reporter for The Washington Post, The Washington Star, UPI, and other news organizations. A former legal investigator and currently a writer based in Washington, D.C., John Hanrahan is the author of a number of books, including Government by Contract. He recently wrote on press criticism, civil liberties, and dissent for the now-defunct NiemannWatchdog.org website. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back looking into the real story behind the bankruptcy of Detroit.